Zchadar zech nishbachet l'shagam v'am Yehudim zech divom es daf pedalet. Perik yesh mutarais perik tishii. Zok the mission b'siyata d'shmai, there are some women who are mutter to be married to their husbands but are also to their yavim. There are other women who are mutter to the yavim who are also to be married to their husbands. There are some women who are mutter to both, some women who are also to both. The mission explains, the following are women who are mutter to their husbands but are also to the yavim. A widow who was married with nesuin to a kayan, whose brother is a kayan gadol. The wife of a chala who has a brother who is a valid kayan. A valid Jew whose brother is a mamzer. A mamzeres who was married to a mamzer who has a brother who is a valid Jew. All these cases are women who are mutter to their husband but also to the yavim. The following are mutter to the yavim but also to their husbands. A kayan gadol who gave kedushin to a widow and then died and whose brother is a regular kayan. A chalala who married a valid kayan who has a brother who is a chalal. A mamzeres who was married to a valid Jew who has a brother who is a mamzer. A valid woman who was married to a mamzer who has a brother who is a valid Jew. All these are cases of the woman who was mutter to her yavim but was also to her husband. The following are women who are also to their husbands and to the yavim. A widow who was married to a kohen gadol whose brother is either a kohen gadol or a regular kohen. A chalala who was married to a valid kohen whose brother is also a valid kohen. A mamzeres who was married to a valid yid whose brother is also a valid yid. A valid woman who was married to a mamzer whose brother is also a mamzer. All these are cases of a woman who is also to her husband and to the yavim. All other women are mutter to their husbands and to the yavim. Regarding shniyas, arayis darabanan, if a woman is a shniyah to her husband but not to her yavam, she would be asur to her husband and mutter to her yavam. If she is a shniyah to her yavam but not to her husband, she would be asur to her yavam and mutter to her husband. If she is a shniyah to both of them, she would be asur to both of them. If a woman marries a man who is a shniyah to her, she does not get her ksuba. Also, she's not paid for the produce of her property used by the husband. Also, she's not entitled to support. She does not get returned to her the clothing that she brought into the marriage and have since become worn out. However, any children that they have are valid children, but we do force them to get divorced. If a widow marries a kohen gadol or a divorcee or a chalutza marries a kohen or a mamzer or a nesina marries a yisrael or yisrael marries an osman or a mamzer, these women would be entitled to their ksuba. In the first list of the Mishnah lists a widow who was married with nesuin to a kohen and his brother was a kohen gadol. She would be mutter to her husband and also to the yavam. Why couldn't the Mishnah have said this case when she was only married with kedushin? Why do you have to say that the nesuin was done? Mar says, since the later case which discusses a widow who was married with nesuin to a kohen gadol, and the Mishnah says that the woman is also to her husband and to the yavam, and the case must be when the nesuin was done in that case, which makes her a halal, and therefore also to the yavam. So therefore, we mention the nesuin in this case as well. Fakamar, why does the Mishnah feel the need to say nesuin because of the later case? There's a case listed in between this case and that other case that we just referenced, where the Mishnah discusses a widow who was only married with kedushin to the kohen gadol, and she's therefore also to her husband and mutter to her yavam. If so, why doesn't the earlier case the discuss kedushin, just like the case of in the middle case over here, which discusses only kedushin? The Gemara says the reason discussing the suin is because of the immediately following case, which says that the wife of a chalal is mutter to her husband and also to his valid kayan brother. This case is only true after the suin, because it's then that the wife herself becomes a chalala. Therefore, the earlier case also discusses the suin. Why does the Mishnah give the case of where the regular kayan married a widow, which is why she's usher to the yavam who is a kayan gadol? Why does the Mishnah give the case where the kayan married her even as a basula, but since she anyway becomes a widow when the husband dies? It would say like that. It can't be because we look at the woman at the time of her marriage to decide whether she's suitable for the yavam, and if she was a basula at that time when she married the kayan, she's therefore mutter to marry the kayan gadol as a yavam, because it's not true. Because if that was true, a valid woman who marries a chalal should be mutter to her yavam who is a valid kayan, and the Mishnah says it's not so. The Mishnah says the reason discusses the case of where she marries a widow is to be the same as the case later in the Mishnah where a kohen gadol marries a widow and she's therefore also to her husband. Since that case must discuss where she was a widow at the time of the marriage, the Mishnah over here discusses it as well, even though it doesn't have to be that case. We learned earlier that Rav Dimi, the name of Rabbi Yechon, instead of a second generation male Mitzri ger, married a first generation female Mitzri ger, the child that they have is considered to be a second generation Mitzri convert, and we would not be allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. Rav Papa asks, according to this, the Mishnah should give another list of examples for the four categories in our Mishnah. If a second generation Mitzri ger marries two women, one who's a first generation Mitzri ger and one who's a second generation Mitzri ger, and they have a son, one would be considered a third generation and could marry a woman who's allowed to marry into the Kal, and the other one would be considered a second generation and could not marry a regular Jewish woman. If each son then went ahead and married who they're allowed to marry, that would be a case where the woman would be mutter to their husbands but would be usher to the yavams. If they each married the reverse, that would be a case where the women were usher to their husbands and mutter to the yavams. If they each married a geyoris who may marry a regular Jew and a Mitzri convert, that would be a case where the woman is mutter to her husband and to the yavam. If the son who is a second generation Mitzri marries an islandess, that would be a case where the woman is usher to her husband and the yavam. If the halacha follows Rav Dimi, the Mishnah should list this case as well. Mar says the Mishnah's list is not an exhaustive list, and the Mishnah therefore, in fact, left out other cases as well, and therefore this is not, it's not the shver that it left out this case. what other cases were left out, which would show that the Mishnah's case is not an exhaustive list. Rav said it left out the case of Betua Daka. If only the husband is Betua Daka, should be usher to him, and what is the Yavim? If only the Yavim is Betua Daka, the reverse would be true, and if they're both Betua Daka, should be usher to both, and she's a Geyari, should be mutter to both. In that case, not considered to be left out, because if it's a case of Chayve Lavim, and the category of Chayve Lavim was already covered with the mention of the Lav, the Kohen Gadol to the Almona. Where it says the Mishnah mentioned other cases of Chayve Lavim as well, a Cholul who married a valid woman. So it must be that the previous mention of Chayve Lavim was not meant to represent the class of Chayve Lavim. If so, the case of Betua Daka is Taka Ashir was left out, and that's why you see the case is not exhaustive, the list is not exhaustive, and therefore the case of the Mitri, even though it's not there, it doesn't mean that it was Dafka left out. Maybe the case of Chayve Lavim was meant to represent the entire class, and the reason the case of Chala was mentioned separately was to teach Halacha of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, who says that a valid woman is allowed to marry a Kohen who is a Chala. If so, the case of Betua Daka is not left out, so why was the case of Mitri left out? Whereas the Mishnah also lists the case that includes an Isser of Mamzer. If the earlier case of Chayve Lavim was meant to represent the class, why is the case of Mamzeris listed separately? It may be. So Amar says that's not true, because it may be that it was listed because the first case of Chayve Lavim only demonstrated that a Lav that doesn't apply to all people, only Kahanim, and therefore it felt the need to list a Lav that applies to all people, Mamzeris. If so, the case of Betua Daka is not left out, and the question remains as to why the case of Mitzri were not listed separate on Mishnah. Amar says the Mishnah lists two separate cases of Mamzeris. There's no reason to have both cases listed. It must be that the case of Chayve Lavim was not meant to be representative of the class. If so, that we see that Betua Daka was Taka left out, which means that the Mishnah's list is not exhaustive, and which is why the cases of Mitzri were not listed in the Mishnah. We mentioned Rabbi Yehuda and Rav said that valid women, even the daughters of Kahanim, are allowed to marry a Cholol. Maybe we can bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah gives the case of a Cholol who marries a valid woman, presumably referring to the valid daughter of a Kohen, and says that the marriage is permitted. But it says the Mishnah may be referring to a Yisraelis, and it's called valid because she's valid in the fact that she's a regular Yid. In fact, Gemara, when the Mishnah discusses the Cholol having a valid brother, it clearly refers to him as being a valid Kohen. So the same should be meant regarding the woman. Where it says valid may mean one thing in the one case, and maybe discussing a Kohen, and maybe valid as a Yid. In another case, Lav Dafka, you learn one from the other. Rav Mar Nachman Yitzchak Braisa says the pasuk regarding the women usher to a kohen says the word lo yikachu twice, and thereby teaches that a woman is usher because of the man. Presumably, this means that a woman may not marry a cholol just as a man may not marry a chalola. Rav said the Braisa means that wherever a man may not marry a particular woman, that same woman is usher to marry that man. It does not mean that a valid woman may not marry a cholol in general. In fact, we already know from the Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel who darshan the pasuk to teach that women are a woman is chay for all averis that like a man is. Mar said we would have thought that the drush only holds true for averis that apply to all people, but not to the ones that apply to a certain subset of people like Kahanim. The Braisa therefore teaches it applies to all here as well. It applies to all in the case where it applies to all as well. The Pasuk Fegmar teaches us that a Kahanim is not also to become Tommy like a Kohen based on the Pasuk of Bnei Aaron, which excludes a woman. If not for the Pasuk, we would think that she would be Chayiv. We see that women would be Chayiv even in the Kahanic Halachot. Mar says we would have thought that based on the Braisa, based on the double words of Lo Yikachu. That's the only reason we would have thought that altogether. Others say that we would think to learn from Tumah to elsewhere that women are potter. That's why we need the brides to teach that they are chayev.